Well, I guess you can say it's never not entertaining when the Grizzlies and the Timberwolves meet against each other. It's always fireworks. This game we saw ejections, a lot of fouls, a lot of turnovers, a lot of missed free throws that hunted the Grizzlies in a 109-101 loss to the Timberwolves. But Ja Morant after the game said something real interesting. He said that the referees have too much power. So we're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about how the Grizzlies can fix some of the things that plague them in this game coming up right here, right now on Locked On Grizzlies.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome back to Locked On Grizzlies. I am your host, DeMichael Cole, beat writer for the Commercial Appeal here in Memphis, Tennessee. So make sure you go over there to see some of my content as well. But thank you, as always, for subscribing, you know, to Locked On Grizzlies, for tuning in to each and every day to our content here. Again, we continue to strive to make things better, to make things great for you, the listeners. So continue to leave comments, continue to leave reviews. Let us know what you want us to do better. There's my Twitter handle right there. If you want to hit me up on Twitter, at DeMichael C. If you want to hit us up in the YouTube comments or reviews on anywhere you can find Locked On Grizzlies, we are tuned in to all of that. And speaking of where you can find Locked On Grizzlies, you should know by now. But just in case you don't know, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, wherever you get your podcasts, Locked On Grizzlies is there. So we appreciate you for tuning in, as always. But I don't think Ja Morant appreciated the refereeing in yesterday's loss against the Timberwolves. A lot of things that we have to cover from that game. A 109-101 loss, the Grizzlies, 27 turnovers, a lot of missed free throws, 12 missed free throws, I think it was. But before we talk about that, we got to talk about after the game, because Ja Morant made an interesting comment, and I think it's something, you know, I've been thinking about for a while now, but it's different levels of how people view this thing, and it's the power of the NBA referee. Well, after the game, Ja Morant went to his Instagram, and he made a post, and there's a picture of him, you know, a couple NBA referees, it's Steven Adams, it's Kyle Anderson. It's basically the sequence right before Ja Morant gets ejected with 1:22 left in the fourth quarter of the loss last night. And Ja Morant makes a tweet. The first line says, "Too much power," which implies he's speaking of the referees. And then he says, "You get ejected nowadays," for basically telling them the same thing that they told you. So I'm guessing, you know, Morant is implying that, you know, the referee said something to him, and he probably said it right back to him. And I guess the referee's feelings were hurt or something like that. And, you know, he got ejected. And then he lastly put "just sassy" with some laughing emojis and a couple other emojis as well. So do referees have too much power? And this is a questionable one, because as someone who played sports before, as someone who has watched sports, you know, my entire life, and as someone who covers not only NBA players, but I've written, you know, about referees. I've had a lot of conversations with collegiate referees, with NBA referees, with NFL referees, just with referees in sports so far in my journalism career. And, you know, you try to pick up on those things, because Ja Morant says that referees have too much power. In the sequence that he described, if that's truly why he was ejected from that game, and again, I did not make the trip to Minnesota, so if I was there, I would have been able to, you know, get a little bit more detail on what happened in that sequence in terms of the referee's perspective and Ja Morant's perspective. But if that's why he was ejected, then he should not have been ejected. That's plain old, you know, just stubborn, I guess you would say would be the word. And, you know, as a referee, you have to have thicker skin than that, because one thing that I think a lot of referees, not all, some referees I've seen are really great. I mean, we saw it in the Pelicans game, for one. I want to applaud the referees from the Grizzlies-Pelicans game that allowed, you know, John Morant and Najee Marshall to talk for a while before they finally dished out technical fouls. And when I say a while, there were a couple, 2 to 3 possessions. There was one time where Devontae Graham of the Pelicans was at the free throw line and they were just talking. Najee Marshall and John Morant were trading, you know, verbal jabs and just talking to each other. And Najee Marshall was talking to the courtside, you know, fans and all that. And the referees let them play throughout all of that until John Morant went to the free throw line and he and Najee Marshall started talking before he shot the free throws. Then he finally got the technical foul. So one thing that I have a problem with is the fact that a lot of referees don't take in the normal emotions of a basketball game. For example, I want to go back to when Santi Aldama, I think he picked up his first technical foul of the season. He got a dunk. And it was a big-time dunk, right? So he puts the ball down, he lets out a loud scream, and he gets a technical because it was the first game of the season against the Knicks. And Julius Randle, you know, or whichever Knicks defender it was, I believe it was Julius Randle, is standing off to the side, but it looks like he's screaming in his direction. And I think that's normal emotion. You know, guys grow up their entire lives playing basketball, yelling and one after they make a shot, you know, through some contact or, you know, letting a guy know he's too little and things like that. That's all. I feel like that's a natural part of the game. It's towing the line if you start to insult a guy or, you know, you see two guys, you know, kind of how the Najee Marshall and John Morant situation took off. At first, you're letting them talk, and then you realize, okay, this isn't going to stop. Let me try to put a control to this. I understand that completely, but a lot of referees put too much control into these situations by trying to stop these things before they even get to that point. You have to understand, when players make big plays throughout a game, Dylan Brooks, for example, who also got ejected from this game, Dylan Brooks is a guy who likes to yell. When Dylan Brooks picks up a steal, he's going to let out a big scream. You know, if it's a game-changing sequence, if he makes a big shot, he's going to let out a big scream. Sometimes that's in the direction of the defender. Sometimes that's in the direction of the opposing fans or whoever it may be. But it's his natural emotion. I think some referees just do not do a good job of just, you know how players, you have to know your personnel, right? Referees have to know your personnel. They have to know the personnel as well. Dylan Brooks is a louder guy. You have players like that. Mike Conley, as we saw in Memphis over the course of his career, a quieter guy. He's not going to do much of the rah-rah stuff. So I think that's what John Morant is alluding to when he says referees have too much power because he shouldn't have been ejected from the game if, you know, the way he described that sequence is how it truly played out. And, I mean, I don't care what it was that was said. If the referee said it first and the player, you know, responded back and said the same thing, then, I mean, the referee is not getting ejected. Why should the player get ejected? So, and it goes on to, you know, just a deeper thing here with, you know, these referees and players. And I talked about, you know, just the emotion of the game. I will say, you know, I like the way that some referees, you know, control, you know, the game in terms of, you know, making sure, you know, that the fouls, you know, don't get out of hand and the flagrant fouls and things like that. I do like, you know, that. But where I think, you know, where players say, hey, there's too much power in the referees, it's the little emotion things. You know, there was a play, I think, you know, I think Chris Paul was the player. Chris Paul, you know, after he got a foul call, he waved his hand at the referee. Okay, yeah, I get it. You know, you don't want to be showed up as a referee. But sometimes players have natural reactions when they don't like a call. They're going to jump up and down and they're going to, you know, wave, do some sort of hand gesture or something. Like, I played and when I played sports, I was just as, you know, dramatic in certain situations. It's hard to control. Anyone out there who has played sports know when you get into the heat of moments, sometimes those situations can be very difficult. But with the Grizzlies right now, do you know that the Grizzlies right now have the most technical fouls per game in the NBA? The Grizzlies are 30th in the NBA in technical fouls. Of course, at the top, teams like the Utah Jazz, San Antonio Spurs with the least technical fouls this season. But the Grizzlies, most technical fouls in the NBA right now as a team. A big reason why, Dylan Brooks, he's third in the NBA right now with 6 technical fouls. And Ja Morant, not too far behind as well. So I believe Ja Morant has 4 technical fouls. He's 7th. So you got the guy who's 3rd in the NBA. You got a guy who's 7th in the NBA in technical foul. I think the Celtics are a team who has 2 guys. I think Jason Tatum, Grant Williams both have 4 technical fouls. But having a player with 6 and 4, you know, at this point of the season, it's something, especially with Ja Morant. You know, you have to monitor that. I believe the number is around 13 to 15 technical fouls when a player gets, you know, handed a 1-game suspension. So not too much, you know, to be concerned about just yet, I would say, until these guys reach double digits. But Dylan Brooks, usually near the top of the league in technical fouls. Like I said, very emotional player. Ja Morant voiced his opinion on the referees having too much power. I've talked to referees in the past, and one referee told me something real interesting one time that stuck with me. He basically said that, in a way, referees, you know, you kind of feel like the bad cop, you know, because at the end of the day, no one's going to tell a referee. I mean, I'm not going to say no one. More times than not, there's not going to be a game where both teams say, man, the referee called it great on both sides. It doesn't happen a lot. I'd say out of 82 Grizzlies games, you're probably going to have 5 or so games. That, like, and these are just super clean games where both teams just probably shoot the ball like crazy and one team wins by 1 or 2 points. And even then, someone's going to find something. They're going to nitpick a carry, a travel. They're going to find something where they can get on the referees about. So that's just a big thing that, you know, I've noticed. I think, you know, players are noticing as well. And the refs have too much power. My answer would be sort of, you know, I would say slightly so, yes. When it comes to the emotional side of the game, referees do have a little bit more control than they should. You look at when Ja Morant and Dylan Brooks got ejected. I mean, Dylan Brooks got both of his technical fouls in the 4th quarter of a very close game. That's when you should hold your whistle a little bit more, in my opinion. Ja Morant, same thing, got ejected, you know, with 1:22 left in the 4th quarter. Hold the whistles a little bit more in those situations. And I think, you know, it makes for a better game. But speaking of a better game, we're going to talk about BetOnline and why BetOnline, you know, helps make some of the best games out here. And you can go make bets on some of those games. BetOnline is where the game starts. And I just got to make sure you remember one thing when it comes to BetOnline is BetOnline is the number one source for all your betting info. I'm talking about not just odds. We know you can go to BetOnline for the odds, but you can go for the news. You can go get your score updates on BetOnline. You go get all of that information right here, right now on BetOnline. And even if you love sports podcasts, you can find those on BetOnline as well. See, it's the easiest and it's the fastest way to get your betting fix. All you have to do is head over to the website today, or you can use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline is where the game starts. And remember, you get the latest odds and trends for every professional and even the collegiate sports out there. I'm talking football, basketball, soccer, World Cup going on right now. Shout out to USA making it to the final 16, esports. We've got it all covered on betonline.net. So make sure you go check that out on your mobile device, or you can go on your website today. BetOnline is where the game starts. The game didn't start too pretty for the Grizzlies against the Timberwolves, and quite frankly, it didn't end that way either. Now, when I say it didn't start too pretty, of course, the first couple minutes it started pretty. You know, Grizzlies came out 11-2 run, I think it was, and then right before you know it, that run was gone. That was the Grizzlies' largest lead of the game. They led by 9 in the opening minutes, and then by the end of the first quarter, turnovers were stacking up. By the end of the first half, the Grizzlies had 15 turnovers. It was truly unlike a Grizzlies performance we've seen this season. And people were, okay, 15 turnovers in one half. How big is that number, you might say? Well, the Grizzlies averaged 14.9 turnovers per game this season. So basically, the Grizzlies had their season average of turnovers in one half of basketball. And not only that, they finished the game with 27 turnovers. The Grizzlies' 27 turnovers is their most since 2007. November of 2007, I think it was, when the Grizzlies last had a game with 27 turnovers, and the franchise record was well within reach. I think the franchise record for turnovers is 29. So this was a sloppy performance all around by the Grizzlies, and it wasn't just the turnovers. Free throw shooting, 18 of 30 from the free throw line. I think six players shot free throws on the Grizzlies, and five of them had missed free throws. I think between Dylan Brooks and Ja Morant, you had 10 of 18 from the free throw line. And these are things that just have to be corrected. Something like free throw shooting, you can't have that. You can't have that. It's free throws. You know, it's literally that. It's one of the easier parts of the game. So you just have to wonder, like, I decided to talk about, like, the turnovers and the free throws, because I feel like one of them was an outlier, one of them is a concern. Start with the outlier. The outlier was the turnovers. The turnovers, 27 turnovers, as I mentioned, that the Grizzlies had. And even after that game, you know, they got bumped down to 14.9 turnovers per game. That still puts them in the middle of the pack, 15th in the NBA in turnovers per game. And, I mean, from 9 to 15, 14.1 to 14.9 turnovers. So I'm pretty sure the Grizzlies fell, you know, a decent bit, you know, during that game because, I mean, the 27 turnovers, as you may imagine, heavily skewed, you know, where the Grizzlies were. And just looking at it now, the Grizzlies were 11th in the NBA with 14.3 turnovers entering that game with 27 turnovers. So, yeah, turnovers, I feel like we're an outlier. You know, there were things that we'll talk about. You know, we'll talk more about, you know, Ja Morant and his turnovers, 7 turnovers. He's averaging a career high in turnovers right now. And, you know, we've seen Steven Adams over the course of the season get called for more illegal screens, you know, basically than I've seen since I've been here, you know, covering the Grizzlies the past couple seasons. So Steven Adams getting hit with some of those. Dylan Brooks also, you know, getting a little hefty bit of the turnover bug as well. But this isn't a team that, you know, I would say I'm overly concerned, you know, with just, you know, their high amount of turnovers. Now, granted, you know, lately the Grizzlies have turned the ball over a little bit more in later games. And we've seen, you know, against the Knicks, I think they had more than 20 turnovers. Then you go back. Even before that, they had more than 20 turnovers. So the last four games, the Grizzlies have eclipsed 20 turnovers. Last four games. So that's against the Knicks, the Timberwolves, the Pelicans, and the Kings. But, again, why I think it's an outlier? Well, if you go to the games before that in turnovers, the Grizzlies fared much better. The previous three games before that, the Grizzlies had less than 20 turnovers. Had less than 20 turnovers in each of those games. So, all in all, I don't think, you know, it's a super concern. I think I read that wrong. So they had turnover. They had less than 20 turnovers actually against, you know, the Knicks, the Pelicans, and the Kings. They had less than 20 turnovers in all that game. On that mistake. So actually, this was the Grizzlies' first game with more than 20 turnovers all the way since Utah on October 29th. So throw the turnovers out the window. This team usually takes care of the ball really well. Tyus Jones, again, we always talk about his high assist to turnover ratio. Steven Adams, the way he can, you know, pass the ball. Ja Morant as a playmaker, his assist to turnover ratio is still really good overall. Turnovers is the outlier. Free throw shooting, on the other hand, that's concerning. You know, we talk about how much this team missed Desmond Baines, you know, three-point shooting. And this is free throw shooting probably just as much. There were a couple times where the Grizzlies had technical, you know, free throws and in this game, and Ja Morant went to the free throw line, missed it. Dylan Brooks went to the free throw line, missed it. Probably in both of those situations, Desmond Bane would have been the guy that going to the free throw line. And then Desmond Bane, we're talking about a guy who on 4.8 free throw attempts per game this season, shooting 91%. Last season shot 90% from the free throw line. And, you know, this rookie year, I think he shot 81%. So overall, 89% from the free throw line in his career in Desmond Bane. And they need that badly right now. Free throw shooting is a concern. Free throw shooting was a concern last season. So I'm not going to harp on it, you know, too long because, you've heard me talk about, you know, the Grizzlies and free throw shooting and why that is an area that this team needs to improve. And if you just look at it from a percentage perspective, you got Desmond Bane and John Conchar, who, by the way, John Conchar shooting 0.6 free throw attempts per game. Jake LaRavia hasn't missed a free throw yet either, but only, you know, 0.3 attempts per game. So I'll say Desmond Bane and John Conchar are both shooting over 90% from the free throw line. After those two guys, there's a substantial drop-off. There's no one in the 80s in percentage. You have Jaren Jackson Jr. at 77%, David Riley at 75%, Ja Morant at 74%, Brandon Clark at 74%, basically. Dylan Brooks at 72%. And then Santi's, you know, at 68.8%. Tyus Jones, which is, I mean, I don't understand it, but Tyus Jones is at 63% from the free throw line, and he's attempting, you know, a free throw per game at this point. Still early. But, you know, numbers like Tyus Jones, those that throws me off. This is a guy who basically shot 81%, 82% from the free throw line last season, 91 the year before that, had 74 the season before that, but 81% free throw percent shooter throughout his career. Ja Morant is arguably, you know, one of the more concerning ones. Yes, Steven Adams, you know, he's bad at the free throw line, 30% from the free throw line so far in his career. But all things considered, Steven Adams isn't going to attempt a lot of free throws. Ja Morant has attempted over 9 free throws per game right now and shoot 74% as your point guard. I think that has to improve. You know, we saw, you know, in the recent loss where he had the 3 free throw attempts at the end of the game, and he goes to the free throw line and he misses, you know, one against the Kings, misses the first one of the 3 attempts. So Ja Morant, 9 free throw attempts per game, shooting 74%. That has to improve. You know, you need better from your point guard. And I think he's capable of improving. You know, that at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. You know, this is right on his average for his career, 77.6 as a rookie, 72.8 in his second season, 76% in his third season, and he's at 74% this season. And, you know, he's getting to the line more than ever. That's the thing about it. Ja Morant's 9 free throw attempts per game. He's averaging 2 more free throw attempts, 9.3 this season. He averaged 7.3 free throw attempts last season. He's starting to get those star calls and all of that. But got to convert him. And that's why, literally, if you look at that starting lineup with Desmond Bane out, when those guys get technical free throws, and especially when John Conchar isn't in the game, you don't have a great guy who, even late in the game, in late game situations, who can ice a game, you know, for you. You know, you want Ja to be that guy. You want Dylan Brooks to be able to be that guy as well. But that's a concern right now, and we'll, you know, continue to monitor it over the course of the season, because someone will have to emerge to be in the low 80s. I think Tyus Jones can do that. I think Dylan Brooks, you know, over his career, he's shown that he can do that. We'll see what happens with Ja Morant. But that's something that you should continue to monitor as well. I'm going to talk about something else that you continue to monitor about Ja Morant's game as well. But before we get to that, I want to talk to you about for making Locked On Sports Today your second listen. Because we thank you for making Locked On Grizzlies. I know this is your first listen. Now, go make Locked On Sports Today your second listen. For us, one of the games that matter the most to the biggest stories in sports. You can go beyond the scoreboard and behind the scenes with the local experts and insights that only Locked On can give you. So basically, Locked On Sports Today is available on this app, YouTube, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast. Locked On Sports Today is there. Wherever you find a basketball in a Grizzlies game, Ja Morant's probably going to be there. Ja Morant's going to be there with the basketball in his hands. And a lot of times that's great, right? But something stuck with me last season. I was having a conversation with a Grizzlies player that was returning from injury. I believe it was Jaren Jackson Jr. I believe it was. No, actually, it was when Ja Morant was returning from injury. And, you know, the Grizzlies were playing really well last season. I think Tyus Jones, in games that Tyus Jones started, Memphis went 19-4 without Ja Morant. So at one point, John Morant was coming back, and I was talking to Jaren. I was like, okay, you know, we know all the good things that happen with John Morant coming back, but what's something you kind of you got to make sure that you sustain? You know, the offense is playing so well. The assist numbers are high. The three-point shooting numbers were up. The points per game numbers were up. I mean, you beat Oklahoma City by 73 points. I mean, what are some of the things you have to be careful that you're able to sustain while John Morant is back in the lineup? And one thing that Jaren said that really stuck with me was he said that the Grizzlies have to – you can't get caught ball watching with John Morant. Modern NBA fans, you know, this is more of a thing in today's NBA. There wasn't much ball watching, you know, in days where the ball would move and touch all five guys' hands during possessions. Today, there are literally possessions where, you know, it touches, you know, two or three guys on the perimeter, then it gets back in the point guard's hand, and then you run pick and roll. A lot of possessions like that today, but if you saw this game, we're talking about the Grizzlies and the turnovers, right? Overall, I think the team, as a team, Memphis had 27 turnovers in this game, 24 turnovers by different players, and then you add in the three team turnovers as well. So once you factor all of that in, John Morant had the most amongst Grizzlies players with 7 turnovers. You had 5 turnovers from Dylan Brooks. You had 4 turnovers from Jaren Jackson Jr. And off the top of my head, I know at least 2 of the turnovers from Jaren Jackson Jr. were offensive foul calls as he was being guarded by Kyle Anderson, by the way, who caused those 2. But John Morant had 7 turnovers. And a couple of those turnovers were simply ball-watching turnovers. There were situations where the Grizzlies, you know, in pick and roll, John Morant, now, sometimes he will try to make something. There was one time he spinned into a double team and lost the ball. And there were situations like that as well. But the Grizzlies can't get caught ball watching, you know, John Morant. I think, you know, when Jaren Jackson Jr. said that, he really said something that made a whole lot of sense. Now, 7 turnovers was the 2nd most for John Morant. You remember earlier this season in a win against the Trailblazers, he had a game where he had 8 turnovers. And Memphis won that game. But in this game, you know, 7 turnovers. And this, you know, this isn't John Morant on the norm, by the way. 4 turnovers in against the Knicks. And then in the stretch before that, 2, 5, 2, 3 turnovers, you know, in games. So basically, at the end of the day, he hasn't eclipsed 5 turnovers since November 4th. And he's only eclipsed 5 turnovers 4 times. I mean, 5 times this season, you know, in the games that he's played. So this isn't, you know, we're not talking about Russell Westbrook and James Harden level ball watching and turnovers and usage here with John Morant. But at the end of the day, you know, it's just something the Grizzlies have to monitor against teams that pack the paint. You know, Minnesota did a real good job last season in the postseason packing the paint against John Morant, forcing him to make passes. And a lot of times you put yourself in predictable situations. When we talk about ball watching, that's basically not moving off the ball, basically saying, hey, I'm standing in this spot, you go stand in that spot, you stand in that spot, and that's let's watch John Morant do his thing. And if our defender helps off, you know, he's going to kick us the ball and we knock down the shot. Yeah, basketball is really that simple in situations, but you have smart defenders as well. I'm thinking about, you know, Anthony Edwards, who caused one of John Morant's turnovers by basically just intercepting a pass. John Morant was guarded my guy, and there wasn't a lot of spacing. Whoever Anthony Edwards was guarding in that situation, you know, there wasn't a lot of spacing. That player could have moved, should have moved as John Morant drove to the right. That player should have relocated himself, but he was just sitting there watching John Morant. So it wasn't hard for Anthony Edwards basically to kind of dive down on guarding John Morant, and as soon as it looked like John Morant was going to pick up his dribble, he jumped back out to his defender. Because, again, there wasn't a lot of spacing, and boom, turnover on John Morant. Why? Because someone is ball watching and someone isn't, you know, spacing the floor, isn't cutting, isn't doing some of those things. We see when Steven Adams has the ball a lot of the times. So watch how the team cuts. John Morant, you know, Desmond Bane when he's playing, Dylan Brooks, those guys really, you know, they cut off of Steven Adams. really good. The team does a really good job of doing the same thing with Ja Morant overall, but that is something you must monitor when you talk about, you know, Ja Morant's 7 turnovers, or not solely on him. There was some spacing thing that we just mentioned. There were some times he was trying to make some things happen, but a lot of times Ja Morant's usually making things happen when the ball, you know, isn't moving. It's because guys aren't moving as much. And it's something that happens with Ja Morant more so than it does with the other players on the team because, you know, you understand that in basketball, sometimes guys don't want to cut to the basket when they feel like someone is going to drive to the basket. And when Ja Morant has the basketball, you don't want to come clunker up the paint and drive to the basket, you know, while he's, you know, driving to the basket as well and bringing, you know, more defenders to him. So there is that, you know. Taylor Jenkins talks about spacing as a big emphasis for this Grizzlies team. And a lot of times when you're spacing the floor, you're just standing in spots because you're trying to maximize, you know, the floor usage, but you have to relocate. You have to maximize that spacing, you know, in between each player. So Ja Morant doesn't, you know, I talked about the Anthony Edwards steal. That situation in particular, that steal does not happen if the Grizzlies have more spacing and Ja Morant has a better drive and kick opportunity overall. So it's just the little things like that. At the end of the day, that game, it's throw it out the window. You know, Anthony Edwards, he was cooking. And I think Dylan Brooks was a big reason why he was cooking. It was a situation where he got hit in the eye late in that game there, and he finished the fourth quarter with 17. He scored 17 of his, I believe, 29 points in the fourth quarter of that game. So Anthony Edwards got hot, got kind of ticked off by Dylan Brooks, and everyone gets ticked off by Dylan Brooks, right? But that's what happened. And overall, you know, Timberwolves aren't a bad team. I think people say, oh, they didn't have Karl Anthony Towns, and I said it in the last episode. Still have Anthony Edwards. And as long as they have that guy, his team is just going to be some type of relevant when watching them. But thank you again for tuning in to Locked On Grizzlies. And thank you for making it your first listen, you know, every day. And make sure you go check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast now, because it's the biggest stories of the day, plus the instant reactions, the big game recaps, and you get the take of the day. Available wherever you get your podcast. That's the Locked On Sports Today podcast. On our next episode of Locked On Grizzlies, we're going to talk about a lot of things. But one of the things that we're going to talk about is previewing an upcoming game against the 76ers. And I know some people are tired of us talking about, you know, an old foe that's, you know, on the 76ers now, as that's an old friend, that's on the 76ers now, and D'Anthony Melton. But we got to talk about it because it'll be his first appearance in FedEx Forum since leaving the Grizzlies. So all that will be covered in the next episode of Locked On Grizzlies. Once again, thank you for tuning in to Locked On Grizzlies. Make sure you continue to check us out everywhere you like to go get your podcast. I love when you guys tune in. I appreciate you, and I appreciate, you know, all the feedback and the responses that we get. So thank you for tuning in to Locked On Grizzlies. We'll see you next time. Once again, I'm DeMichael Cole, signing out on Locked On Grizzlies.